Well, good evening, everyone, and I'd like to welcome you to our Wednesday night prayer meeting service. And I hope you're doing well today. Hope you've had a great day this day that God has given to us. And I know that we've had a productive day today and got a lot of things done, and appreciate the good weather that the good Lord has given to us. And although it's a bit on the cooler side, but that's to be expected, and I'm not arguing with that. I love the cooler weather, and I'm sure you do, some of you do as well. But nonetheless, we are thankful and blessed to be able to come to your place of listening and watching once again by way of Facebook Live, and what a blessing it is to have this tool. And we want to just jump right into things this evening. And in our prayer sheet, our prayer request portion of the bulletin. And before I mention any, let me just say this. If you have a prayer request of some kind of change and you want to update that, you can text me, you can email me. All of our information is there on our webpage, www.calvaryministries.org. And or if you feel comfortable, you can post it as the broadcast is going on here this evening. So just wanted to mention that to you. Tonight, let's just be in prayer for our country. Let's be in prayer for our leaders. And let's pray concerning this ongoing of recounting the votes and all of those things, that the Lord will be in control of that. And as we've said before, and we'll say it again, that ultimately our hope is not in the White House, but our hope is in the church house. Our hope is grounded and founded in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so whatever happens, whether the votes are there, the votes are not, then we're just choosing to trust in the Lord. And we know that in Proverbs it tells us that the king's heart is in the hands of the Lord. And so we're a winner either way tonight. And so let's just rejoice this evening and glean something from God's word. But tonight, let's pray for all of those unspokens that were mentioned, or that, in fact, we had some hands raised on the other Sunday. But we do have a specific unspoken. Tonight, let's remember my in-laws, if you would. That is the Browns and the homegoing of Gilbert Brown. And his memorial service will be on this Saturday. Let me just say we appreciate everyone who has expressed their condolences and all of those things. We thank you, thank you, thank you from the bottom of our hearts. But this is going to be a family-only event. And so we're just going to have a memorial service on Saturday, and that will be that. So just thank you for reaching out to Christy and our family during this time. Let's remember a second to that, Brother Jim Daly, as he continues to have a breathing condition. And let's pray for him. Let's pray for Miss Dawn, Jim Jr., and the Ashworths as well. Brother Jim needs our prayers, and so we'll be praying for you, Brother Jim. Let's also remember Joanne Rich. She requested prayer for Bentley the other Sunday, her grandson, and so we're praying for Bentley tonight. Also, his mother Ashley, praying for her as well. Brother Jeff Hodges is soon going to have a kidney biopsy on his other kidney. And I believe it will be his left kidney. And so we're praying for you, Brother Jeff, that will come back benign as well. And so we're praying for Brother Jeff. Let's pray for Shirley Townsend as she continues her cancer treatment / radiation on her cancer spot on her lung. Praying for you, Miss Shirley. Of course, Brother James as well. James and Shirley Townsend, remembering them both. And let's continue to remember our children's home. I do want to say while I'm here that this coming up Sunday will be our Youth Sunday. And Sunday morning, Brother Brian Busby will be preaching. And if you haven't heard Brother Brian preach, please tune in. Please be here if you can. Great preacher of the word. And so we're looking forward to hearing Brother Brian. And we're also looking forward to our youth partaking part in the service on Sunday morning. And I know that they're going to be energized and ready, and may even have a couple new songs in there for this coming up Sunday. So please remember that. Make plans on being with us if you can. And let's remember our children's home and our kids, our the staff there. Let's remember Brother Alan Clayton and his Captain Ross, Alan and Terry Clayton, and then Captain Ross. Miss Barbara Anderson, she's down at Powder Springs Rehabilitation Center. Let's continue to remember her. If you can, go by for a visit. She would appreciate that. A phone call, a card, something along those lines. As you can imagine, being in a rehabilitation center such as she is, what your days and nights look like, I know that you would appreciate, I would appreciate a phone call, a card, or a stop by. Of course, that's on the outside of her window. With more details, just you can ask me, and I'll let you know. Let's remember Rusty and Chris Watkins for their health. Miss Chris and her back, praying for you guys. Love you guys. Hope to see you soon. Harold Dahl, for praying for Brother Harold tonight. Claudia Darby, let's remember the Teagues and Miss Connie's brother Bill. As I hear, he's still making strides in recovery. And so we're grateful and thankful for that. But we are praying for Brother Bill. We're praying for the Teagues in general, and Miss Christy, and Larry, and of course, Sister Connie. Praying for all you guys. Love you, miss you. And Joe and Lynn Vandiver, let's remember Brother Joe's sister-in-law Charlotte battling cancer. I want to pause for a moment right here and just wish Miss Lynn a great big happy birthday today. Happy birthday, Miss Lynn. You're a jewel. We love you. We appreciate you. I hope today you've had a great birthday. And so happy birthday to Miss Lynn. Let's remember Brother Ceylon, Miss Catherine Plemons, and Brother Ceylon, of course, with the passing of his brother John. Let's just remember for days ahead with him in their families. Miss Catherine and her mother Marge, let's continue to remember her, who requires a lot of attention. Miss Jenny Clanton, Don and Carla Rich, let's continue to remember them. Some of you may have seen that Brother Don has, I believe today he was going to drop off some Bibles and some other books of the Bible, literature studies like Romans. I believe he was taking a trip down to the coast there in Peru, and then that material was going to be on a boat, to go to a boat, and then to the jungles of Peru. And so we appreciate you guys, love you guys, and praying and praising as well, praying and praising God for what he's what he has done, but yet what he is continuing to do there in Peru. Randy and Diane Ely, let's be mindful of his mother that requires a lot of attention as well, dementia, Diane's brother who has cancer. Ed and Marianne Sanvey, let's remember this dear couple that we know so very well, Brother Ed and his health, Miss Mary Ann. I believe Miss Sharon Hodges may have told me on Sunday that her sister, Miss Mary Ann's sister, Patty, I don't want to miscall what's going on with her. I know she's battling cancer, not sure if she's in hospice care or just intensive care. But let's remember Miss Mary Ann Sanvich's sister, Patty. Miss Cassie Kronovich, spoke with her today, and she's doing okay. She's making steps toward better progressing in her life, being with just her. Of course, Miss Norma went home to be with the Lord some time ago, but she's taking strides of better health, and so we praise the Lord for that, Miss Cassie. Gerald and Francis Carroll, Leonard and Dolores Palmer. Again, the Rich family. Let's pray for all the shut-ins tonight. Brother Trell Norton, James Tolan Brown. This is our Marine that came from the children's home. Let's remember Kim Merritt, who's battling cancer from Pleasant Hill. And let's remember Brother Johnny Ivey, pastor of Welcome Hill Baptist Church. And we take our time on Wednesday nights with these prayer requests because Wednesday night is known as our prayer meeting, or prayer meeting for all churches. And so we really take that to heart, and we like to take some time and pray. And so that's what we're going to do at this time. We're going to go to the Lord in a word of prayer. And then we're going to give you part two of our message, our lesson concerning the gates that are in the wall there in Jerusalem. When Nehemiah and his men went to go to rebuild those, rebuild the wall, there were gates in place. Last Wednesday we started this series, and tonight we're going to go a little bit further, but let us pray this evening. Father God, we come to you in Jesus' name, and we're thankful and grateful for who you are and for what you do, Lord. Lord, we do confess our faults. We do confess our shortcomings. We pray that you'd be with us and help us tonight, Lord, to rightly divide your word. Lord, help us to communicate your word, Lord, to the hearts of your people through Facebook. Lord, I pray that somebody will be encouraged this evening. Somebody, Lord, will draw strength from the truths of your word, that they may have a little more pep in their step, a little more joy in the journey. But Father, tonight I'm thankful for a church that prays, and I'm thankful for those who have prayed and lifted up my family during this time of the passing of Christy's grandfather. Lord, we pray, Lord, for the memorial service that you'll be glorified and Gilbert would be honored in the life that he lived. But Father, tonight we do pray for the dailies. We pray that you put breath in the lungs of Brother Jim, strength in the hands of Miss Dawn, and God, that you would just be with their family and the entirety of their family. And Father, tonight we pray, dear Lord, for Brother Jeff Hodges in this kidney biopsy that he'll soon have, Lord, that it will be negative. And God, that he would have two kidneys, Lord, that function correctly, which so far they are, but we do pray that you continually touch him. And Lord, we pray for all of those who are battling cancer, all of those, Lord, that are near and dear to our heart, outside of our church family. We pray for them. We pray for everyone on this prayer list tonight, that you'll lift up each and every person, every life, every situation. And God, tonight I pray for Youth Sunday, that you be with Brother Brian. Lord, use him in a very mighty way. I pray, Lord, that folks would respond at the altar call and that we would be brought closer to you. And God, as always, we pray that you would save some soul. And Lord, I pray that you would encourage the saints at the same time. We love you, Lord. We praise you. We thank you for who you are and for what you do. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Nehemiah tonight, chapter number 3, the book of Nehemiah, chapter number 3 is where we'll be. And we're going to mention some things here again concerning the subject of gleanings from the gates. Gleanings from the gates. Nehemiah chapter number 3. Before we get started, I want to say last week we began looking at the 10 gates of the Jerusalem wall that Nehemiah and his men began to rebuild. And so they began to rebuild this big wall and the gates that were within the wall. And so there were 10 gates. We know, first of all, there was the sheep gate. Then there was the fish gate, the old gate. And there was the valley gate, and there was the dung gate. There was the fountain gate. There was the water gate. Then there was the horse gate, the east gate. And then there was the inspection gate, or the Mifkad gate. And so while these gates were real physical gates that these men put back together, they also carry a spiritual significance as well. And so we began looking at that spiritual significance that these gates meant back in Nehemiah's day. But also, let me say this before we get into the lesson tonight, that you will also find that there is a spiritual progression in the very mentioning of these gates. How that we started, and how this chapter, Nehemiah 3 and verse number 1, how it starts with the sheep gate. And then it goes on to the fish gate. And then it goes to the old gate and so forth. What you'll find as we look into these gates is that there is a spiritual progression as we mention these gates. And so they're symbolic gates, and they give reference to spiritual progression. And tonight I want to quickly, go over the ones we mentioned last week, and then we're going to pick up with gate number 4, and that is the valley gate. We started off last Wednesday night looking at the sheep gate. Notice verse number 1 of chapter 3. Then Elisha, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they builded the sheep gate. They sanctified it and set up the doors of it. Even unto the tower of Miha, they sanctified it unto the tower of Hananel. And so we see that, and last week we talked about this first gate, the sheep gate. This sheep gate was the very gate that the sheep would go in through as they would be walked through this gate, the sheep gate, and then they would be brought into the temple to be sacrificed. And so what could we glean from the sheep gate? Well, we talked about last week that we could glean that Jesus was the ultimate lamb sacrificed. We also gleaned and we talked about how that our new life is in Christ, and we being sheep, he being our shepherd. And this gives the picture of the start of our progression in Christ as being born again, going through this gate, being his sheep now, he being our shepherd. We have a new life in Christ. We have a new beginning in Christ. And so we go through the sheep gate, and that starts our spiritual journey. Not only that, but he is the gate. He's the gate of salvation. And in Matthew chapter number 7 and verse 13 says, straight is the gate. And it says, narrow is the way that leadeth. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life everlasting. That's the Justin Hales version of that verse. But he is the gate tonight. He is the gate of salvation. Now, this chapter starts and stops with the sheep gate. I think that's interesting. Verse number 1 says, and it mentions the sheep gate. But then in verse number 32, it concludes with the sheep gate. And so what does that mean tonight? That just simply means that Jesus is the first and he's the last. He's the Alpha and he's the Omega. He's the beginning and he's the end. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And so because he's the first and the last, I think that we ought to start every single day with our mind thinking about Jesus. Now, I know we don't go through our day 24/7 just thinking about the Lord and praying in a closet somewhere. We all have jobs. We got things we have to do. But I do think it would benefit all of us if we start each day with our minds set on heavenly things, our minds set with him. And so we ought to start our day with Jesus and end our day with Jesus. And so we talked about the sheep gate last week. But then number 2, we talked about the fish gate. The fish gate. Notice verse number 3. He says, but the fish gate did the sons of Hananiah build. And so gate number 2, in order as they were rebuilding, was the fish gate. Now, the fish gate was the very gate that the fishermen of Galilee would bring their catch in. They would bring it through that gate to be sold at a market. The fish gate. I think that we can glean tonight, as we said last week, that after we go through the sheep gate, then we must go through the fish gate, meaning that after salvation, we then become fishers of men. It's only natural tonight to want to tell somebody about Jesus. And so we stand back and we glean some things from these gates. And we know the sheep gate, we go through for salvation. Then there's the fish gate. We go through, and this is symbolic for fishing for men. After we enter in the sheep gate, we then enter in the fish gate. After salvation, we then become fishers of men. Listen to this verse. Matthew chapter number 4 in verse 19. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Isn't that a blessing tonight? To know that the Lord, he calls us from one life to a new life. Only Jesus can put a desire and an urge within your heart to want to tell people about Christ. Nehemiah and his men are building gates. They built the sheep gate, which all the sheep came in to be sacrificed. They built the fish gate, which the fishermen would bring in to be sold at the market. And then we see in verse number 6 last week, the old gate. The old gate. This gate, in verse number 6, he says, moreover, the old gate repaired Jehoiada, the son of Paseah, and Meshullam, the son of Bezadiah. This is the old gate. And this is, some believe, the oldest of all the gates in the Jerusalem wall. And so what can we glean from this old gate? Well, I believe this old gate, it speaks of and is symbolic to the old ancient scriptures. The old ancient scriptures. And so what does that mean to us tonight? Well, as you can see, there is a spiritual progression here. There is a journey taking place. Number one, you enter in through the sheep gate and you start your new life with Christ. And then you enter in the fish gate and you start telling people about Jesus. But then there's the old gate. And the old gate is a time when you have to educate yourself with the scriptures. It's the time when you begin to educate yourself with the scriptures. It's when you digest and you learn the word of God. You familiarize yourself with the promises of God. You begin to learn, and God begins to show you things in this old gate. He begins to illuminate his word from the word of God. And you begin to embrace the promises of God. You begin to digest and tuck those scriptures away in your heart. And notice this verse here in Jeremiah 6 and verse 16. Jeremiah 6 and verse 16, the Bible says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. So Jeremiah talks about some old ways. He talks about some old paths that have been tried and tested. And this speaks of the words of God that men and women have embraced and walked upon through their journeys of life. And Jeremiah calls it old paths. He says, you'll find rest in these old paths. And tonight I want to say that all of us ought to allow the word of God to resonate within our spirits and our heart, We ought to digest the scriptures. We ought to, within this old gate, embrace the word of God. Know what God has said. Know what his plans are for the church. And to know that God loves us. He loves us unconditionally. And all the other things that apply to the life of a Christian. I want to say this. Many times a lot of Christians struggle because they go through the sheep gate and then they go through the fish gate, but then they fail to go through the old gate, the place where you open the pages of God's word and you take it in. You see, because the next gate is the valley gate. And unless you digest and take in God's word through the old gate, you will have, listen, valley experiences are hard and valley experiences are rough. But certainly if you do not know what God says about you and your future, you will struggle the much more in the valley gate. And so a lot of Christians tonight, they find themselves excited about sharing Jesus, but they're not embracing the word of God for themselves. And then when the valleys come and dry experiences happen, there's nothing to cling to on the inside. A lot of people, they ride the faith of a mentor. They ride the faith of a loved one. You know, there's a lot of people who go to church regular and watch regular like you're doing. And there's people who piggyback on their faith. But listen, I might be preaching to someone tonight that you have been piggybacking on someone else's faith. You know you're saved and you know that you have a love for sharing Jesus, but you never have really spent any time in that old gate. I want to say that you need to go through that old gate. You need to embrace the ancient scriptures because God has something for you there. There's going to come a time when you're in the valley. There's going to come a time where that mentor, you are riding upon their faith and piggybacking on their faith. They're not going to be around anymore. And you are going to have to be able to continue when there is no encouragement anywhere. There's nobody else exhibiting true faith. You're going to have to be able to move forward in your Christian walk with your own faith. So tonight we see that last week we concluded with the old gate. Tonight I want to mention a few more gates. And I hope it'll be a blessing and a help to you. Notice if you would in verse number 13. In verse number 13, we see the valley gate. Verse number 13, the Bible says, the valley gate repaired Hanun and the inhabitants of Zanah or Zanoa. The valley gate repaired Hanun and the inhabitants of Zanoah. What is the valley gate? What was the purpose in the valley gate? Well, if you look at maps in the Bible or are familiar with maps concerning Jerusalem and that area over there, you'll see that there are several valleys that surround Jerusalem. And we have this gate opened out, or this gate is, it opens up there at the Valley of Hinnom. The Valley of Hinnom. And so there's several valleys that surround Jerusalem, but this gate opens up or dumps out right there at the Valley of Hinnom. So therefore it's called the Valley Gate. Also, I want to make mention of this. You can go back and look in your maps, but on a map, you will see that there's a long distance from the old gate to the entrance of the valley gate. There's a long distance. Old gate, valley gate. So what can we glean from this? What can we glean from this valley gate? What can we glean that there's this long distance from the place where we begin to digest the scriptures to the entrance of this valley gate? Let me just say that after salvation comes soul winning, the sheep gate, the fish gate, then spending time in God's Word, growing and taking in the promises of God. There is the old gate. Now, up until this point has been known in the life of the believer as the honeymoon phase. The honeymoon phase or the honeymoon period. A person gets saved, they get excited, they tell people about Jesus, and they begin to take in the Word of God. This is the honeymoon phase. But next comes the next step. And it's a very harsh step, but a very needful step. Because the next step, after the honeymoon experience, comes the valley experience. And let me just pause a moment and say this, that, you know, even when you get married, there's the honeymoon, and you have a good time on the honeymoon, you spend time with your new spouse, and then you leave and come home, and real life sinks in. Oh my goodness, I'm married now. That means I've got to work, I've got to provide, I've got to be, you know, I got to live out what I committed to before the pastor. And so, likewise, in the Christian life, there is a honeymoon phase. But this valley gate is a definite gate that leads to valleys. And so this also is a time of personal growth. This valley gate is a time where we experience the valley. Sooner or later, after conversion, the believer will have times when their faith is tried and tested, even with fire. Some people say, I just can't believe what happened the other day. I can't believe we got that phone call and somebody passed, and or I can't believe that I lost my job. Someone else just might say, well, I just can't believe so-and-so would do that. They just hurt me like no other. Listen, child of God. Listen, church. And preach it to myself. There comes a time when what we say has to be put to the test. We may say we have faith, but it's in the valley where we realize that God is our hope. We realize God is our helper. And we stand in the valley on the promises of God. And through this process, what we have said, we may have genuine faith before a valley experience, but it is a refining time. So we have gone from what we have said, oh, I love Jesus, oh, God is faithful, oh, God is true, but now you're in the valley and some things have happened to you in your life. You don't agree with them. You don't like what's happened to you in your life, but they have happened. What's taking place tonight, Pastor Justin? I'll tell you what's taking place. You have went from the sheep gate to the fish gate to the old gate, and now you're going through the valley gate. It's the gate where you're tried and tested, and what you have said is being refined by fire. And so, sooner or later, after conversion, the believer will go through times where their faith is tried and tested. But this is also a time of personal growth. Where's the opportunity? It's time for personal growth where there's opportunity to cast our faith on the promises of God. Remember tonight, church, that nothing really grows on the mountaintops in a natural sense. There's some things that grow, but the majority of farmland, the majority of gardens and crops are grown in the valley. Most people don't plant gardens on the mountain. They plant them in the valley. And so if you're going through the valley gate tonight, rest assured, and if you know you're saved, rest assured that God is purifying your faith. He is wanting for a crop to come up. He is wanting for there to be fruit and more fruit and much fruit in your life. But most of the time, this is not accomplished on a mountain, but it's accomplished in a valley. The valley gate. A lot of people, this is where a lot of people may backslide, and this is where a lot of people may say, well, I'm not going to church because God, I don't agree with what God is doing in my life. Listen, if you have trusted Him to be your Savior, then you can rest assured He is actively, lovingly working in your life. We don't have to agree with what He's doing. We just have to trust what He's doing. And Father knows best tonight. Father knows best. The valley gate. Let me move on tonight. There's the dung gate. Notice in verse number 14, if you would. But the dung gate repaired Malchiah, the son of Rechab, the ruler of part of Beth Hakkerem. And so we see in this verse, the dung gate. What's the physical usage of this dung gate? I'm glad you asked. The dung gate tonight is a gate that was set aside, that was specified for all the trash of Jerusalem to be carried out and dumped, disposed of in the valley of Hinnom. And in the valley of Hinnom is where all of the trash was burned. And so we have the dung gate. All the trash has to go through this gate. All the things of no importance has to go through this gate. Everything has to go through the dung gate so that it can be burned on the trash heap. And I believe that you all can understand where we're going with this one. What can we glean? Let me say this first. There is a long distance as well from the valley gate to the dung gate. All right, there was a long distance from the old gate to the valley gate. And that speaks of the believer having time to get acquainted with the Word of God, then the valley experience. But also the valley gate, there was a great distance from the valley gate to the dung gate. Look on your map, it's there. Two of the most distant places is from old gate to valley gate, and then valley gate to dung gate. Therefore, there is a long distance from valley gate to dung gate, therefore indicating that the valleys of sorrow can take a long time. And I believe we all could say amen to that. Old gate, valley gate, long distance, valley gate to dung gate, long distance. Valleys can take a long time. The long valley experience has a way of removing rubbish from our lives. You see the progression? Sheep gate, fish gate, old gate, learn God's word, valley gate. And in that valley gate, we're in the valley. And then the dung gate. You see, the dung gate is what is the result of the valley gate, if you could understand that. God allows us to go through valley low experience so that He can get rid of all of the trash in our life. I said the other Sunday night, and I mentioned about the three Hebrews in the burning fiery furnace in the book of Daniel, chapter number 3. And while they were in that fire, before they were in that fire, they were thrown in bound. They were bound up and thrown in that fire because they wouldn't bow. And then Someone looked into that fire and said, one of the men said, Nebuchadnezzar, lo, I see four men loose. The point of that is, church, is that sometimes it takes fire, sometimes it takes hurt, sometimes it takes pain in order to get rid of the trash in our life. We look at this dung gate. You can imagine everybody in Jerusalem, every household, every marketplace, whatever. They got all of their trash and they take it out this gate and it's thrown in a heap and burned, the Valley of Hinnom. Same thing in our life. God is getting rid of the debris from our life. It's the same way that a farmer, he first plows the ground. And then he plants. And then there's production, there's produce. But before the planting and the produce comes the plowing. And the removing of the debris and then the plowing. And you see, these things take place in order for fruit to come up. What is it tonight that needs to go from our lives? Oh, we may justify what we're doing. We may say that there's things, and we may just justify some things that we're doing to ease a conscience that we may have. But at the end of the day, if you know Jesus, you know, I know what's wrong and what's right. And tonight, there is just some things in all of our lives that need to go out this dung gate and into the Valley of Hinnom. What is it tonight that needs to go out of the dung gate? Notice something else about this dung gate. On a map, going from the dung gate to the next gate, which is the fountain gate, there is a turn or a bend around that wall. Look it up. It's there. Look on a map. When you see the dung gate, and you'll see also there's a bend. I'll bring a map and show it next Wednesday. Have it up here behind me somewhere on a board. But there's the dung gate, and then there's a little bend, and there's the fountain gate. And so what is this? What's this symbolic to? Well, it again, spiritual progression. We go to the sheep gate, fish gate, old gate, valley gate, and then by the time we're at the dung gate, God has dealt with us. God has purged us. God is beginning to mature us, and then we will find ourselves coming up out of the valley. How about that tonight? We will find that if we keep our hands to the plow, stay confessed up to date, have our face and embedded in the promises of God, what you'll find out is eventually you will get out of that valley you're in. You see, there's training and there's valley experiences, but eventually there comes a bend in our road. You may be listening tonight, watching tonight, and looking for a bend in your road of betterness. I want to say it's coming your way. There's coming a better day for you, church. There's coming a better day. I know you probably have been in the valley low and God has been dealing with you with some things and you've been through some hurtful experiences. But just as the dung gate is at a bend right where that fountain gate is, you as well will reach a bend in the road. A bend where things get better. A bend of betterness. And so it's at this point in the journey where things start to move upward. What a blessing that is. A bend of betterness. Church, I want to say tonight, just stay encouraged. Just keep on living for Jesus. And I know we're living in crazy days and I'm by myself tonight preaching to the camera. we're in person on Sunday morning. Be encouraged. We will eventually get back together. But be encouraged tonight. Be encouraged that God is doing something in your life. He's at work in your life. We just got to let Him work. And so there's the dung gate. But notice this one in verse number 15. There's the fountain gate. Verse 15, but the gate of the fountain repaired Shaul-Nun, the son of Kohaza, the ruler of Mizpah. The fountain gate. Now what's the deal with this fountain gate? Well, the fountain gate was near a pool. Some say the pool of Bethesda was there. And you remember the story where the lame man lay for the impotent man for all of those years. I believe it's like 30-something years. And every once in a while, an angel would come down and trouble the waters. And whosoever stepped in first was cured from whatsoever disease they had. And we know Jesus passed by, wilt thou be made whole? And he got up and he walked. We know. Some say this was that pool beside the fountain gate, the pool of Bethesda. Some say it was the pool of Gihon. But at any rate, there was a pool there. There was a fountain there. And often people would clean themselves before entering the temple. And they would go to this fountain. They would wash in their feet and their hands and their face. And then they would go through the fountain gate. And they would go, I believe much of them, if not all of them, would go to the temple for worship. So what can we glean tonight? What can we glean from the fountain gate? Well, again, the dung gate, listen to this, is very close to the fountain gate. Therefore, after a valley experience where we are tested and tried, and rubbish is removed from our lives, then real faith flows. I mean, we go through the valley gate, we go through the dung gate, God is actively working in our life, and then there is the bend of bitterness. There is a upward climb out of the valley, and then there's the fountain gate where there's water there. This speaks of the true faith that has been cultivated from the valley. True faith flows in this gate, the fountain gate. The fountain gate tonight, it speaks of the Holy Spirit and the living waters that has cleansed us and now is empowering us. Listen what John says in John 7 and verse number 38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Isn't that a blessing tonight? To know that God is a rewarder to those who diligently seek Him. Just to know tonight that there is a drink in the middle of dryness. Just to know that when we set out and we become a sheep of His and we go through that sheep gate, we begin to tell people about Jesus and we digest the words of God and then we're in the valley and God then is getting rid of things through the dung gate. Then comes the showers of blessings where there has been real faith cultivated, where we're not dependent upon circumstances to be perfect, but yet we build our life on the promises of God. And we know that whether the circumstance is good, whether the circumstance is bad, it doesn't matter because God is at work in our life and we are living based upon not emotions, but based upon truth. And our truth is that Jesus has a plan and He's growing all of us up. The fountain gate. Doesn't that sound good tonight? In fact, I want to take a break and drink a little bit of water from that fountain. So refreshing. You see that? That's how we feel when God brings us through a valley and we learn a little bit. we are refreshed. We have matured, hopefully. We have learned a little bit. The Bible again says in John 7:38, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." I want to say tonight, the Valley Gate is where people were refreshed before service. The Holy Spirit does that through these stages. He allows real faith to be cultivated. He cleanses us and empowers us. One more and we'll be through tonight. Notice in verse number 26, this kind of goes in hand with the fountain gate, but in verse 26 is the water gate. Moreover, the Nethinims dwelt in Ophel unto the place over against the water gate toward the east in the tower that lieth out. The water gate. What's the water gate all about? The water gate led down to the Gihon Spring, which was located adjacent to the Kidron Valley. And so we have a spring here that was connected to or up against the Kidron Valley. And so what can we glean from this water gate? Well, of course, this water gate is a picture of the Word of God and its effects in our lives. It's only through God's Word we can be cleansed. You see, the fountain gate speaks of empowerment and rivers of water flowing from the inside. It speaks of the Holy Spirit. But this water gate here, it speaks of God's Word and its effects in our life. It's only through God's Word we can be cleansed. Psalm 119 and verse number 9 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." How about that tonight? The fountain gate. The fountain gate, the Holy Spirit, in other words, makes God's word alive in our hearts, giving us cleansing, encouragement, and direction. And so the water gate tonight speaks of the Word of God. And the fountain gate tonight speaks of times of refreshment, times of growth from the Holy Spirit and His working in our life. I want to stop there this evening in verse number 26. And the Lord willing, not next Wednesday. Next Wednesday actually is going to be Thanksgiving week. And Thanksgiving week, as we normally do when we're in person, we normally don't have service that week and on the midweek, and so we're putting off that next week. So the following week, we will get in to the other three gates, the horse gate in verse 28, verse 29, the east gate, and then in verse number 31, we have the Mithkad gate, which is the gate of inspection. And again, this chapter closes out with the sheep gate in verse 32. And so tonight, that is the valley gate, that is the dung gate, that is the fountain gate, and that is the water gate. Our prayer tonight is that something was said that was a help to you. I pray that maybe you've received just a little bit of light for you to light up your step, for you to walk in for tomorrow, and then the next day, and then the next day. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you for who you are and for the things you do, O Lord. Help us tonight to be present at these gates and to know that your word, Lord, is very detailed. So many wonderful things come from the pages of your word. And help us tonight digest your word, because we know the valley's coming, but we know you want to get rid of some things in our life so that we could bear more fruit and experience these rivers of living waters. We love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, thank you, church, for watching. We hope it was a blessing again. And just keep in mind, this coming up Sunday at 11 a.m. will be our Youth Sunday. Everyone have a blessed evening. We love you.